The New Testament lesson this morning is from Colossians, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3. Paul writes this: "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Here is a reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and minds today. Beautiful. Thank you. Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 and following. And Jesus said this: "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, a comforter, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. On that day, you will realize that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Here is a reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and minds. This morning, I'd like to think about making the rest of our life the best of our life. But first, I'd like to get started with something a little humorous. There was this man who died and went to the judgment seat, and there at the pearly gates, St. Peter met him. St. Peter looked at him and said, "Well, I don't really know what to tell you. We've been talking about it here, and we don't really know what to do with you. You've led a life that was neither really good nor really bad. Could you give us a little more information that might help us? Is there something really good that you've done?" The man said, "Well, once I was driving along the highway and I saw a group of thugs surrounding this man, and so I stopped my car, I got out, and I went up to the leader. He's a big burly guy with a big ring in his lip and his tattoos all over him, and I went right in front of him, tore the ring out of his lip, and I say, 'Listen, if you want to mess with this man, you're going to have to deal with me first.' And St. Peter said, 'Wow, when did that happen?' The man said, 'Well, I think about 3 minutes ago.'" St. Peter said, "Go on in." Well, life is a wonderful gift. And what we do is a gift back to God. We've been looking at the purpose-driven life and how that we can look at each of those purposes and see our purpose in all those. And this morning, I want to kind of bring some of those themes together and think about making the rest of our life the best of our life. And how do we do that? Most of us have some sort of an image in mind when we think about life. There's a metaphor that speaks to us. And for some people, maybe sometimes you say, "Well, life is a roller coaster. There's ups and downs, there's fast parts and slow parts, and there's wild turns, and life is a roller coaster." And for other people, they say, "Well, life is a puzzle. We got to get the pieces and put them together in the right way." And for other people, life is a maze. You got to find their way through it, and sometimes you take a wrong way and you got to backtrack and find another way. For still other people, they just think of life as a journey, and you have to stop and smell the roses along the way. And for others, life is a dance, and you have to find the right partner and learn the right steps in the right way. And all those metaphors and images are true and have wonderful truths. But there's another one that God has given to us, and that is that life is a trust. Now, when you think about life as a trust, sometimes when we think about trust, if you're like me, look like me, well, I thought, well, trust was just for wealthy people. But in fact, life is a trust in itself. And a couple weeks ago, when we looked at the parable of the good steward who gave talents to each of his workmen, to one steward he gave 5, another steward he gave 2, and still another he gave 1 talent. And there was a trust in that. Things were given to them, but there's conditions they were supposed to fulfill. The week after Easter, the question comes to all of us: what do we do with this wonderful gift of new life and the promise of eternal life that God has given to us, and the promise of forgiveness and new life? And the answer, I think, is that life is a trust. And not only that, life is a very, very sacred trust. What are we going to do with our life that's a gift back to God that honors that trust? When we think about that, I think it's helpful to remember those purposes that we looked at in Rick Warren's book that I think You can see from a lot of different perspectives. The first is that we have a purpose to worship God, not just in church, but throughout every day of our life. And as we worship God, we find that we're blessed and we're empowered to live. We also have a purpose that we're to follow Christ. As we follow Christ, we're sort of formed into the image of Him. Now, we can't earn our salvation or forgiveness from God. That's a free gift that Christ has paid on the cross. But all of us are also called to follow Christ as disciples, and slowly God, through circumstances and His Holy Spirit, and us submitting our will to Him, shapes us into the image of Christ. Now, we'll never fully attain to that, but how are we doing in reflecting God's love in all that we do? And then we have the purpose of fellowship, and that's a blessed purpose too. We all enjoy getting together and eating, but even more important than that is to encourage one another and build each other up. You might have just the right word for the person next to you this morning or someone else that's a word of encouragement that meets them just where they are and can really lift them up. We also have a mission in our life and a ministry. We all have gifts and talents. We talked about how our lives are uniquely shaped with gifts and talents. And ministry isn't what we do, it's how we do it. That's a gift back to God. And finally, we all have the obligation really to share the good news of Christ's love that we've experienced with others. And it isn't about preaching with words, it's really how we live our life that so often impacts people and just sharing the good news. We all have those purposes in our life. And if you look even at the beginning in Genesis, sometimes people think, well, that's just maybe with Christ. But in Genesis, in the first couple of chapters, with the image of God forming and fashioning Adam and Eve, there's a commission that's left with them. And that commission is this in the garden still. And God says, I've given you all these animals and plants and land. And then God says you're to steward them. Now, sometimes it says you're to use them, but the real word is to steward. In other words, we're sort of gardeners out there to take care of God's earth and God's gifts to us, and we're to nurture them along the way. Now, I know I have a lot of farmers here, and to be a farmer, you don't just throw the seeds in the ground and let it grow. You folks do a lot of work, and today it's GPS and computers and all kinds of things, but you're really thoughtful about what you do with that to make the most of it. And that's sort of the commission that God gives to us. Do the most with what I've given you. Do the most with what I've given you. Sometimes you might feel that your neighbor has a better piece of land than you do. Someone else might think you've got better talents or better opportunities. The fact is, God gave to one servant 5 talents, another 2 talents, another 1 talent. And we're only judged on what God has given to us. And even 1 talent is no excuse for not using that, because the steward only judged them on what they were given. And so whatever our talents are, we have a purpose in life, which is to give back. I love the way that Paul makes that scripture apparent to us. He says, my goal, and this is Paul talking about his own life, is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And those treasures of wisdom and knowledge aren't just salvation, that's important, but all of life. We have wisdom and knowledge and treasures that are given to us. In fact, every single day is a treasure and a gift that God has given to us. That we really appreciate that God can really bless that in an incredible way. He also says this in 1 Corinthians 4:2. He said, those who are trusted with something valuable must show they are worthy of that trust. Those who are trusted with something valuable must show they are worthy of that trust. And do each and every day as we look at our life, do we look at it as if it were a trust from God, that God has given us a purpose and a mission and ministry in life? My mother, as I shared with folks who went through cancer surgery this past week, they first didn't think that she had cancer, but were fortunate that they caught it early, and the surgeon remove some of the bad cells, and then they had him examined and find out that there was cancer, and the fact that it had metastasized. We're very concerned that it would have gone into her lymph nodes, and my grandma died of lymph cancer, and so there was a lot of concern in the family. Of course, you know that my mom's a great Christian, and that no matter what happens, she's going to one day be with the Lord, and we want to be reunited with her there, but we feel like she's got a lot left to do here. And so we went around here for a while longer. But one of the things that gave my mom great comfort, and gave me great comfort, was the surgeon that was going to do the operation. I've been a surgeon that worked for my mom for a long time at the hospital she works at. She's been a nurse for over 40 years, and he had been a general surgeon, and in fact had done my mom's hernia operation. Well, then his wife some time ago, more than 10 years ago, contracted breast cancer. And unfortunately, it was a battle that she lost and she died. And he decided that he was going to take the rest of his life and just do one kind of surgery, which was he was going to do surgery for breast cancer. And he was going to fight it with everything he had. And I got to tell you, that gave me and my mom and our whole family a great deal of confidence knowing that he was going to do everything he could to take care of all of that. And I got to tell you, that's a mission. That's a ministry. And it doesn't matter what you and I are doing, whether it's being a farmer or a doctor or a plumber or a factory worker, housewife, whatever we're doing, we can do it as a mission and ministry. And if we give our gifts to God each and every day, God can do tremendous things in our life, and our life can touch other lives. And we'll never know until we get to the other side of eternity how much impact that we've had on someone else's life. So life is a trust, and God has given us a purpose, and life is also trust in that God has not left us alone. Even though Jesus has been with the Father, he says he's left his Holy Spirit to us to empower us and give us power. Listen to what he says to his disciples and to us. He said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, a comforter, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither knows him nor sees him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Because I live, you will live also." And Jesus has promised us his Spirit of comfort that will be with us no matter what happens in our life. And so we're not alone. And sometimes we're put in places where the obstacles and challenges that we face in life are bigger than us just because in that moment we have to depend on a power outside ourselves. And only then do we really learn to trust God and know that God will be there. And God will see us through no matter what happens in our life. And Jesus paid the price on the cross for forgiveness and new life, but he also paid the price that we could have power and comfort and the Holy Spirit with us now and forever. Whatever we face, know that if God can take the tragedy of the cross and turn it into the triumph of the resurrection, there's nothing that he can't do for you and I. There's no obstacle that we face, no challenge too big that God can't be there for us. It's not how able you and I are, but how able God is. And God's Spirit is greater than all. So life is a trust, and we have a purpose from God, and we have power from God. And finally, we have God's promises to see us through. Maybe you've been in a place in your life where something was so big in your life that you just knew you couldn't face it and alone, and so you needed something bigger than yourself. One thing that my mom shared with me some time ago when I was going through some difficulties in my own life, she said, "You know, sometimes in my life, when I don't know what the Lord's will is and I don't know how I'm going to get through each day, I just take God's word, the Bible, and I lay it next to the pillow next to me at night. I just put my hand on there at night and say, 'Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that your power and your promises are there with me. And I trust your word, I trust your will, and I trust your way.' And I'm just putting this Bible here because I know that your promises will see me through." That's for all of us, not just for some saint, but for each and every one of us. God gives us his promises each and every day, and you and I don't know how things will turn out sometime, but we know that God is there, and God has not left us alone. And even though Jesus is resurrected from the cross and is at the right hand of the Father, we know that Jesus hasn't left us alone. Given us the Holy Spirit each and every day and given his promises to lead us and guide us along the way of life. And so when you look at your life and you say, this is a sacred trust each and every day. Life is a gift and God's given me gifts and talents, and I want to take those gifts and talents and dedicate them and develop them and have God bless them. And like the story of Jesus when there was a multitude that was hungry and no one brought any food. And Jesus asked who might have brought something. And all there was a little boy who had a few loaves and fishes, but he was willing to give those to Jesus. And Jesus took those loaves and fishes, and he blessed them, and he broke them, and he fed the multitude with things left over. Sometimes our life is that way. We might not feel like we have enough, maybe with a person with only one talent. But if we give that to Jesus and let him bless it and break it and break our lives sometimes, why? Then his needs are met. There's more than enough that's there because of the blessing of Almighty God. Know this, that each day is a sacred treasure and trust from God. When I was doing campus ministry at Purdue, I used to always take students on spring break to do Habitat for Humanity missions, usually in New Orleans or Florida. And one of the things we used to do in Florida when we went there was we'd take one day off and we'd go and work at Give Kids the World. Now, I don't know if anyone here knows about Give Kids the World, but you probably know about the Sister Foundation, which is the Wish Foundation. When kids who find out they have a terminal illness or something very, very severe that may be terminal, sometimes the Wish Foundation comes along and gives them a wish, and they're able to take their family and themselves and siblings wherever they want to go, and usually it's to Disney World and SeaWorld in South Florida. What happened back in the 50s was there were hotel owners around the Orlando area, and whenever they had an empty room, they would give those rooms to kids in the Wish Foundation and their families who could stay there free of charge. But the kids for the Wish Foundation had to wait for those hotels to open up in order to go. They were blessed by doing that. And a person by the name of Henry Langworth had been through a horrible experience in a concentration camp in World War II. He escaped with his life, but many of his friends and family died. But one of the things he did, came to the United States and he opened a hotel, and he decided what he was going to do to sort of live the gift of life forward was to offer his rooms to children in the Wish Foundation at his hotel near Orlando. Well, one time there was a little girl by the name of Amy, and Amy had terminal cancer. She wanted to go to Disney World with her family, and so they waited for a hotel room to open up. That was a busy week in that area. Unfortunately, there wasn't a hotel open, and by the time there was a hotel room open, why, she had died, unfortunately. And he was deeply moved by that experience, and so he decided that that would never happen again. And he got together with other hotel owners in the Orlando area. He had had some of the astronauts, including John Glenn, stay at his hotel before, and he got them together, and they raised some funds, and they decided to build a little village right near Disney World, and they enlisted the help of the Disney architects, and they built this little village called Give Kids the World in Kissimmee, Florida. And today, more than 120,000 families have stayed there from over 74 countries, and in less than 24 hours notice, they can always have a room and a little place open for them that's available for even the worst handicaps. They're able to accommodate them and give them special accommodations to go to Disney World. And he decided what he was going to do was he was going to take that experience in life and make it his mission in life. Now, you and I, sometimes it's a tragedy that might speak to us, and sometimes it's just a gift and talent that we have that meets the need. But whatever we have, when we ask God to bless it and to break our lives in such a way, then our life can be a sacred trust that really gets a purpose beyond ourselves, that offers others a glimpse of God's love and offers us a way to bless the world. And so one day when we come to heaven's doors, why, we'll be able to say, Lord, you've given me talents, and with whatever you've given me, I've given back to you. Not to earn the love of Christ, but in return for the love of Christ, so that you and I can minister to others. It's not what we do, but how we do it. And sometimes things may seem awfully bad, just like that incident with Amy dying before she could go to Disney World, or the doctor's wife who died. Sometimes God can bless that, and as tragic as that is, even though people would want to have that back, God can make that into a mission and ministry somehow. Quite some time ago, Chicago experienced one of the worst fires ever. And it leveled the downtown. And many people believed they should just move out into the suburbs and let that go. There was nothing they could do. Mr. Fields looked at that and said, no, I'm going to build one of the greatest department stores ever right where my building used to be. And he built one of the greatest department stores ever, Marshall Field. It was also the birthplace of modern architecture. Architects got in, and that's where the first skyscrapers were built. And somehow on the ruins built some of the most beautiful architecture in the world today. Hopefully you and I don't have to go through trials and adversity, but there's a lot of images that if you and I really look at life and say it's a sacred trust, then God can bless it and make something special from it. I'd like to just close with a word that Billy Graham shared about God caring for us. He said this from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Who of us has not asked in times of affliction and difficulty, does God care for me? The psalmist said, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Martha, overconcerned with her workday duties, said to Jesus, "Lord, do you care not for me?" And how many faithful, loving mothers, overwhelmed by the burdens of motherhood, have cried anxiously, "Lord, do you care for me?" That question is forever answered in these reassuring words of Peter. He cares for you. This is the word of God. Even if the world passes away, it will not change. You can be confident that God cares for you. If he didn't, would he have sent Christ into the world to die for you? Of course not. That is why we can always turn to him for strength and encouragement in times of need. Yes, life can be overwhelming at times, but when it is, remember this. God knows what you're facing, and he cares for you. Life is a sacred, wonderful, blessed trust. And if you and I rely on the purpose of God, and God has given us gifts and talents to use for his purposes, and rely on the power of God through the Holy Spirit that cares so much for us, and rely on the promises of God to stand firm on, know that one day we can enter heaven's doors and know that we've done something not only to be proud of for ourselves, but to bless others and to honor God. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We know the promises are with us eternally. We know that you rose from the dead, that you blessed our life, that we can know forgiveness and new life. And you have given us eternal life in this life and the life to come. We thank you for your hope and your promises, but most of all for your love. Help us to honor the gifts and talents you've given us. And like the little boy who gave you the loaves and fishes, we pray that you'd bless and multiply them to meet the needs of others. In all we do and say, may we show your love to others, to your honor and to your glory. Amen.